Well, good afternoon or morning or whatever it is. It's just about noon, so I'll say good morning. I'm going to present some information today on dietary fiber in four pulse crops. You may have been around when we talked about dietary fiber in dry beans. That was funded by the Bean Cap, and we expanded our efforts to look at some of the other pulse crops. So I'll visit with you why dietary fiber and why it's important. I will give a plug for the International You Hear the Pulse conference tomorrow afternoon. So what are pulse crops? Most of us in this room know what a pulse crop is. So they're a leguminous crop harvested solely for its dry seed and it affects atmospheric nitrogen. As I said, this is the International Year of the Pulse in 2016, dedicated by FAO and the United Nations. And dietary fiber is one of those things that's very not well understood in terms of its physiological effects, and not well recognized by the average public. 95% of us don't get enough fiber in our diet, with only about 5% of us getting it. And those happen to be people that are high pulse consumers, based on some pretty good data. We know that pulse crops have an effect on cancer, type 2 diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. And in our lab, we showed that cancer incidence in a lab preclinical model, laboratory model, that if you look on the blue line in the incidence, that's the control, where about 94% of the animals develop mammary cancer. And the two lines below that is one of them is from a specific wet kidney bean that had high results, and the third one is from tamoxifen. So the results we got were very similar to tamoxifen for both incidence, multiplicity, and tumor mass. This data has also been reproduced very similarly with colon cancer at Michigan State. So fiber intake and mortality have been shown to be correlated. That study concluded that dietary fiber may reduce the risk of death from cardiovascular infections and respiratory diseases. And they studied a cohort of people that were retired, and their correlation was between longevity and fiber intake, and they found a very good correlation between those two. So what is dietary fiber? It's the part of the food, by definition, that's not affected by the digestive process. So only a small amount of the dietary fiber is metabolized in the stomach and intestine. The rest is passed through the gastrointestinal tract. The components of dietary fiber are soluble, insoluble, and oligosaccharides. You can think of the soluble dietary fibers as some of the larger molecule glucans and carbohydrate molecules. Insolubles are more like cellulose and lignin and some of those other things. And the oligosaccharides are long-chain carbon molecules that are not digested because we can't break them down in the stomach. In the intestines, E. coli can break the chain and result in fermentation. So they get a bad rap sometimes for causing flatulence, some of which is true, not all of which is true. So, again, some of these physiological effects, the most common is lactation. If you take a laxative, most of what you're getting is soluble dietary fiber. Blood cholesterol attenuation, widely accepted as related to fiber intake, and blood glucose. It's also known to play a role, as I mentioned earlier, in some of the major chronic diseases. So in this study, we wanted to look at dietary fiber in four pulse crops. We had already done it in dry bean, as I said, with the bean cap, but we wanted to look at lentil, dry pea, chickpea, and the American Pulse Association funded this work. We worked with lentil, dry pea. We worked with Rebecca McGee to get those samples. And with chickpea, we worked with George Vandermark to get those samples. All samples are from two locations and two replicates per location. And we really wanted to see if these cultivars that are in breeding programs, not wild germplasm or core collections, but actually breeding programs, differed in fiber. So just to review what I've already reported in dry bean, There's quite a bit of variation in dietary fiber. In this case, we had 264 entries, cultivar germplasms. The highest five had a mean of 29.6, and the lowest five had a mean of 23.3, a highly significant difference. So we know that in dry bean there is major differences in dietary fiber, and I'm not showing the oligo data for time reasons, but we found a very similar thing, about 3% in the low and 6% in the high, so fairly large differences. When we looked at chickpea, I'm showing a little different chart here. The yellow chart, the yellow part on the bottom is the insoluble dietary fiber. The gray in the middle is soluble, and the oligos are on the top. And one thing, if you look at this entry right here, it had extremely low oligo content, and we saw some variation among these lines, but because they are breeding lines and they're fairly highly related, we didn't see a lot of variability. It was statistically significant for all three components. Dry peas showed a little more variation, and on the right we show Granger, and this is an animal food dry pea, and on the left, Hampton, which is the lowest one, an edible pea. Lentils, again, we saw some variation, but less so, and not a lot of variability. If we're going to breed lentils, alter them, we're probably going to have to go outside of our cultivated material. If we compare the four pulse crops, I summarize it here, and if you look, focus on the variation for insoluble dietary fiber among the four crops, in dry bean, we saw quite a bit of variation. Chickpea, likewise, not so much in lentil and more so in dry bean. Soluble dietary fiber, again, we see quite a bit of variation, especially in chickpea is soluble. And oligos, you can see in chickpea, grade from 0.3 to 3.8. Fairly high amounts of variability. So we believe that if we compare this with other crops, shown at the bottom, cereal crops, pulses all have double or more dietary fiber, so they're better sources than the ones that are advertised in the public, whole grains in particular. We don't hear much about pulse crops, so we need to hear more about that. Industrial folders, if we do varietal selection, we believe we can increase that dietary fiber, especially in some of the processed foods and dietary fibers. And here we can see that if you take dry beans, as an example, a half a cup of cooked beans would have about 7 grams. If you take the best cultivar out of that group, you'd increase that by 11 grams, almost 50%. So you can close that fiber gap just by a cultivar identity preserved prospect. So we think we can change, we can utilize this genetic diversity in some of our breeding lines. We did work with SNPs, and we identified several candidate genes involved. So let me go the right way here. So thank you very much. Again, it was funded by American Pulse Association and the Bean Cap, and lots of people were involved in this. Thank you.
We've got time for a question.
Got it done in 10 minutes. I did it again.
Nice. What happened if you had a soybean up there?
Well, I'll say this. Soybeans aren't consumed other than if you edamames directly. They're usually processed as an ingredient. The bottom line is I don't really know. I don't really. Soybeans are so high in oil that I think the profile would change. We have not looked at soybeans. That's the honest answer.
Good.
G by E?
Yeah.
It's interesting. We did not see G by E for most of the variables, insoluble, and the three oligos. There's a few we did, but for most of them, we did not see G by E, but we saw high genetic P values. I mean, low genetic P values, high significance. What? Well, every bar you saw was a cultivar in those graphs.
I'm afraid at this time we're going to have some.
Yep, thank you.
Sorry about that.